Is conflict destroying relationships in your community? Are offenses creating division? Feeling at a loss as a leader? What if I told you that there is a way to grow through conflict rather than be destroyed by it? Conflict is inevitable whenever humans are in communion together. However, it can be an opportunity for growth rather than a cause for division. While it's not easy, by following God's principles, it is possible to find a way through conflict and experience God's blessing. Hello, and thanks for joining She Leads by Faith podcast. We are the Homeschool Community Builders. I'm Pam Kafer, along with Molly Kitzmiller and Hannah Larson, and we are here helping homeschool leaders grow lasting community built on Christ, connection, and strong leadership.
Are you or your kids feeling isolated and discouraged even though you're in a homeschool group or co-op? Or are you homeschooling by yourself and desire a like-minded Christian community? Is the Holy Spirit prompting you to build an authentic community for your family? There are families waiting for you to answer the call. We know that the thought of starting your own group that truly meets your needs can be overwhelming. You are not alone. We are here to come alongside you.
We are three homeschool moms and co-op leaders with over 30 years of experience between us, leading thriving homeschool groups. We have answered the call to obediently step out in faith and trust God's plan. We have learned many lessons along the way, and we want to help you have a smooth journey so that you don't have to reinvent the wheel. If you're ready for lasting community built on Christ, connection, and servant leadership, this podcast is for you. Pop in your earbuds, keep your notebook handy, and be encouraged. You can do this. We are here for you. Hi, I'm Hannah, and I'm here with Pam and Molly. And today we're going to begin a series of podcasts about conflict. Today we're going to talk about five reasons that you need to have a conflict policy. It's an essential document and procedure that you should have in place as you start a new community. So, Molly, why don't you tell us why we need a conflict policy?
Okay, so we have five reasons. Let's start with reason number one, because conflict is inevitable. This is just like we have to accept this, right? We might start a community with friends that we love and we get along with, and we might think, oh, we're never going to have fights. We're never going to have conflict. And I'm telling you, with the best of intentions, there will be conflict. So
that's right.
Yeah, you've got to have your eyes open about that whenever you start a community. But it doesn't have to be a bad thing, right? So we wanted to kind of talk a little bit about what kinds of conflict you might expect. Why is it inevitable? Does it have to be inevitable? Pam, I know you had some good ideas about what are the kinds of conflict that we run into most often in our homeschool communities.
Well, from my experience, the types of conflict that happen most often are when we just get offended. It's usually not something that's a vindictive thing that somebody actually really wants to hurt somebody else. It's more that we all bring our experiences and our different reactions and triggers to a conversation or a situation. And that's when it happens because somebody gets offended, somebody does the offending. And it's not really on purpose. It's not intentional, but a conflict occurred. And then there has to be some sort of way to reconcile or get on the same page or compromise when that happens. So having a conflict policy is a tool that's going to help you get back to that place where you started.
So there's sort of the unintentional hurts or offenses that happen. Sometimes there's conflict too about differences of opinion related to, in my experience, a lot of it has to do with our kids. And so conflict happens in community because mamas act like mama bears when their kids have a hurt or have a need or whatever. It's all of our tendency to do that. And
that can happen. It happens not only from mama bears. The conflict can happen between teachers. It can happen between teacher-student. It can happen between students. It can happen in so many different realms because we're all interacting with each other. It's basic, like you're signing up to be a member of a family when you're in a community. And you have to understand, mm-hmm. it always surprises me that people, it catches them off guard. And they do get offended, or they think, how could this be happening? And it feels so yucky when there's conflict. But it doesn't need to be that way. It doesn't need to be scary, and it doesn't need to be personal.
So our second reason why we need a conflict policy is preparation is necessary. You don't want to be caught unprepared for this. You don't want to not have a plan in place when the conflict arises. As a leader, you want to have a tool to help your community members, whether it's parents or students or teachers or whoever. You want that tool in place so that you can use that in the moment when these things happen.
Because when you're in conflict, that is not the time to work on a conflict plan.
Right.
You're already in the thick of it at that point. You need yes. a plan to be prepared because it will happen. So plan for it when the emotions aren't elevated and when offense isn't there, because then you're going to be level-headed. You can come search the Bible. What does God's word say about conflict? How do we want our conflict policy to look like? You can be more objective about that. But when mm-hmm. you're in conflict, you cannot be objective about creating a policy about conflict.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think back to our process in creating our conflict policy document. It took a long time. Mm-hmm. It was many drafts. It was a lot of discussion. It was a lot of searching scripture, but the effort was worth it in the long run. But
we even had some conflict regarding our conflict policy. Imagine
yes,
that.
We did. Yes, we did.
Well, yeah, you had to practice it. You had to have something to base your policy off of.
Yeah. Yeah. And when we were preparing that policy, it wasn't just based on our opinions. We really sought God's help in that. And we really searched scripture, and we looked all over the internet for different types of policies. And it's a really important document you want to spend the time creating so that you are prepared and that you have thought through all the steps and maybe even practiced it to make sure that what you have written down actually works. Okay, so Pam, what is the third reason that you need a conflict policy?
The third reason is that the word is your guide, especially when emotions are high. Emotions are what gets you into the trouble. It's all of our past that we come to the table with and we react from instead of respond to situations mm-hmm. that can be unreliable. It's those things that the enemy has put in your mind that tell you a lie, and then we believe it and then try to not make sure that that's not the truth. So it's those feelings of abandonment and unworthiness. We all have them, not feeling good enough. So that's how we counteract that, is by grounding ourselves in the truth, grounding ourselves in God's word. The word is our guide.
Yeah, I think that when somebody is in conflict and emotions are running very high, we have to remember that we can't depend on those. We can't believe what our heart is telling us at that moment. Most likely, it's like you said, Pam, it's from a lie that we are believing from the enemy. We've forgotten to give the other person the benefit of the doubt. We've forgotten God's truth about what he says about being offended, which, you know, he tells us that no one has a right to be offended, that we are supposed to have the mind of Christ, who did not take offense and gave himself up for us, right? So,
yeah. And it's when it becomes about you, and that's when you get in the trouble. I have a good example of this. So our co-op, we were having the kids memorize scripture, and I wanted the parent teachers to also be encouraged to memorize scripture as well. And so I put out an incentive and I said, whoever memorized scripture, you'll get a bonus from me. And thinking, okay, there's people memorizing scripture. We'll come down to it. It was myself and one other person who were memorizing scripture. And then somehow it became about me, right? It became about, well, I'm not a good leader. Nobody's wanting to follow me. And then I got irritated. And then I ended up shaming them. You know, I was like, why aren't we memorizing scripture? Our kids are memorizing scripture. We need to be good examples and blah, blah, blah. And I went on and on and on and stood on my self-righteous little box. And then later I realized this is what happened. I had this image in my mind of the Incredibles. I think it was the first one when he's like trying to escape and then they're throwing these big tar balls on him and they're like expanding. It was like, that's what my head felt like it was doing. And I realized, what have I done? I was shaming my community because it was somehow became about me. And it was a great opportunity because all the scripture that we were learning was about how to lead yourself, self-leadership, like taking ownership of stuff. And so I went and stood up on stage and I apologized to everybody in our community for, you know, I used it as an example. Like you can make a mistake. But that was a good example of my emotions, me getting and reacting out of my emotions.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then you went back to the word to ground you in what you were supposed to be doing. You're not supposed to be self-righteous, right?
Like, he who exalts himself will be humbled. He who humbles himself will be exalted. You know, I'm exalting myself up there saying, oh, I'm more righteous than you because I'm memorizing. We should be better, you know, and all of this stuff. And he who is first should be last. These were all scriptures that we were memorizing at the time. And so it was perfect because that's the beautiful thing about it is when you make a mistake, it's just an opportunity to show God's goodness, even through your mistake. And so me being up there, even though it was shameful for me to have to be up and apologizing to people because I didn't know why. I didn't have any idea. You know, one of our members, he has a really bad memory. Like it might even be impossible for him to memorize those scriptures, you know? And now I'm shaming him and making him feel guilty about it. And I don't know anything about their lives. It wasn't a requirement of anybody, but somehow it became about me. So
there's a saying that I've heard, I don't know where it's from or when I heard it, but feelings are not facts. So, you know, we have this filter that we might interpret what someone says or does, but that doesn't make it fact. We can't assume their intention, right? And so that's why we have to have a grounding source, which is the Word of God, to lead us through conflict because we cannot trust ourselves. Truly.
Yeah.
We can't trust ourselves. And the enemy knows that. And the enemy will use our emotions against us because it's so easy to just tap you in one direction and remind you of something in your past. And next thing you know, you're derailed and you want to hurt each other. So just keeping that in the forefront of your mind and recognizing that's what's going on will help you a lot too.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing is, Satan is the father of lies and, you know, he wants to divide us. So in my mind, I always want to remember my community member that I'm in conflict with is not the enemy. Satan is the enemy. He's trying to divide us. And so let us not give him room to do that. You know, God gives us ways to be in communion with each other and we have to hang on to that. We cannot trust our feelings about somebody because we think we've been hurt or offended. That is just ground for the devil to move in. So,
you will spite the enemy by not being offended. You will spite him. So think of it that way. Somebody, I think it was Lisa Turkhurst in one of her books, said that emotions or feelings are good lie detectors. And that's what I think of when I get charged or when I get triggered, I try to think of what's the lie that I'm being told? What's the lie that is reminding me of something that, you know, the lie that the enemy wants me to believe about myself.
Mm-hmm.
And so use your emotions as a tool, but not a guide. The
Yes.
word is the truth, and the word is your guide.
Yes.
Amen. So the fourth reason we need a conflict policy, well, let's just review. Number one, conflict is inevitable. Number two, preparation is necessary. Number three, we need a policy because it should be grounded on the word being our guide in our policy. And number four, if you have a policy, the process that you're going to walk through will be clear. And everyone knows what to expect when conflict happens. Your policy should have very clear steps to follow so that everyone knows that when they join your community, here's our policy and this is what we're going to do when and if conflict arises. Our policy, very first thing is stop and wait. Don't talk. Don't post things on social media. Don't post things in email. Just stop for a moment and let those emotions die down a little bit. Because if you enter in to trying to say your feelings are hurt and you go immediately and confront somebody else about that, it's not going to turn out most likely in a good way. But if you take a minute, you think about it, you pray about it, boy, the perspective can change immensely and gives God time to work on your heart so that you might wake up the next morning and go, oh, that wasn't that big of a deal. I'm a bit hurt, but maybe that person was having a really bad day. Maybe there's something else going on that I don't have any idea about. Do I really think that they were trying to hurt me? You know, there's just room for you to be able to process and be able to allow God's truth to moderate your emotions before you go and blow something up.
And there's a physiological reason too, that it's because when your frontal lobe, when your emotions are high, your frontal lobe is not working anymore. Your amygdala is fired up and it's called your lid being flipped, and you cannot use your reasoning at the same time. So giving yourself time, letting those emotions cool off, and then being able to regain, because you want to use your frontal lobe when you're dealing with something, don't you? Mm-hmm. Yes, you do.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a physiological reason why you cannot figure that out while your emotions are high.
Well, and healthy conflict is not reactionary. So, you know, when we're at the height of our emotions, are engaged, we're offended, or we want to engage in a battle, that's not mm-hmm. the time to engage. That's the time to step away, be in prayer, self-reflect, and seek truth, and then come with a heart of humbleness and servitude, of being in community together, because the relationships are more important than being right.
Yeah, you know, this idea is so contrary to everything that we hear in society that I think it's really, really hard to do. But if you lay out this policy before your community at the beginning of each year, if you go over it and you say to them ahead of time, if anybody hurts your feelings or if there is a conflict, please don't say anything about it for 24 hours. It sets up that clear boundary for people and allows that process of calming down to happen.
Well, and there's no guarantee that everyone in the community will follow the conflict policy. But if you have a policy and a process in place, the likelihood of people following it is better. And just having it laid out ahead of time sets things up for success. So you want the process spelled out, because It's just good for everyone to know. It levels the playing field, if you will, right? If you're going to follow the same policy, that I'm going to follow the same policy, then we can meet together in the middle much easier than if we're coming from two different points in the game.
Yeah. The process being clear is a great reason to have a conflict policy. And number five, the last reason that you want to have a conflict policy is that resolution is possible. You want to set your community up for success. You don't want conflict to end in separation and division and people leaving and fights. And I mean, that is possible also. But if you have a conflict policy that's well thought out, that's grounded on the word, resolution and reconciliation is also possible. And the blessings that come out of that really open your eyes to the fact that conflict isn't bad. It's actually not bad. It's a place where we grow and learn and we can embrace it, I guess. I mean, nobody likes it, but you can embrace it as a way for the community to grow closer together.
And to be honest, it is an act of obedience. God asks us to be humble and obedient, and he tells us what to do. And so if your conflict policy is built on his word, that's where your blessing comes from, is when you are obedient to what he tells you to do, you will experience a deeper relationship, more compassion for one another, and better, more connected relationships.
Mm-hmm.
So in recap, the five reasons why you need a conflict policy are: conflict is inevitable, preparation is necessary, the word is your guide, the process is clear, and the resolution is possible.
I want to leave you guys with Philippians 2 verses 1 through 7. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out for not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. It's all right there, guys. If we just do that, be that servant, be willing to put others before yourself, and you can't go wrong.
Thanks for joining us today on learning about five reasons why you need a conflict policy. We are going to continue this series of podcasts about conflict, so come back and listen next week. We plan on talking about how to develop your conflict policy and what might be in it, give you some examples. And we would love if you want to join us on our Facebook group and talk about what you have in your conflict policy. What kind of conflicts have you encountered in your community that you would like to be prepared for in the future? We can have a discussion over there. Join us on Facebook, and thanks for listening.
Hey, thanks for listening. If you found this podcast helpful, applicable, or encouraging in any way, the best way to thank us is to share it with someone who might benefit and to write a review. Here's how to do it from Apple Podcasts. Right now, exit the show you're currently in, then select the library icon on the bottom of the screen. Then select Shows. From there, click on the She Leads by Faith podcast thumbnail. Scroll down until you see Ratings and Review, then click on Write a Review, which is just below. Tell us what you think. We would love to hear how it helped.